Apparently, on the earth, shortly after the demonstrations of Jesus, there were those who had accepted this particular way to inner Christhood. We find evidence of that in 1 John, in the 3rd chapter and 14th verse. He says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Now, when he says we have passed from death to life, he's referring to the mortal creature, which he refers to as death, and having passed through the steps of the Beatitudes to the acceptance of Christ as self, Spirit as self, into oneness, he has passed out of the mortal creature into the immortal self. And so he calls it, we have passed from death to life. Now there's another passage in John, and that's the 8th chapter, the 24th verse. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Now all of our so-called lacks and limitations represent what we call our sins. And we will die in them unless we know that I am he. And that I, which is he, is the I of your being, which is the Spirit of God itself. Be still and know that I, the Spirit of your being, am God. Until this union has been brought about, there will always be a mortal creature saying, "Why does God permit evil on the earth? Why does God let the streams be polluted? Why does God grab my son and send him off to shoot and be shot at?" Always the belief that God is doing these things, when it is we who are rejecting the very presence of God in the midst of us. Now we are told that we are blessed if we do this, that, and the other thing. Let's see how we are blessed. What is the meaning of these blessings? In one case it says, ours is the kingdom of heaven. In another it says we shall be comforted. In another it says we shall inherit the earth. We shall be filled. We shall obtain mercy. We shall see God. We shall be called the children of God. Again, ours is the kingdom of heaven. Is there any of us wants more than the kingdom of heaven? To be known as the child of God, to inherit the earth? And you know, the funny thing is, if you want less, you're doomed to failure. Under divine law, you cannot want less than the kingdom of heaven, to be called a child of God, to inherit the earth. You cannot have less. Any less is unreality. You will notice that each of these promises is the revelation that only the Spirit of God walks the earth. And you may also notice that there is no healing, no so-called miracle demonstrated by Jesus on earth which did not include the eight Beatitudes. So completely had he overcome the human mind that these were one actual consciousness. Now, if you were to say that you are all-knowing, you would then take your all-knowingness and find that in this world, your all-knowingness becomes eye, ear, nose, touch, taste. Five methods of knowing, which are really part of the one knowing. Now, these eight Beatitudes are all part of the one knowing. They are the facets of Christ consciousness. And having reached the level where these in Jesus were one consciousness, you can apply it to the loaves and fishes, to the healing of anyone in the Bible, and you will see that every healing is really these eight steps in an instantaneous sequence. And let's look at it that way for a moment. We have the hungry without food. They are poor in food, but they're really poor in spirit. We have the cripple. He's poor in health, but he's really poor in spirit. We have the demoniac. He's poor in mentality, but he's really poor in spirit. We have the dead, Lazarus. He's poor in life. Yes, because he's poor in spirit. Wherever there is a poverty, it is a poverty of spirit masquerading as a poverty of a thing or a condition. But there is also present the witness of spirit, which is Jesus the Christ, who is not poor in spirit because I am the Spirit. And wherever that spirit stands as the witness, that which was poor in something is recharged by the presence of a spiritual witness, and that spirit redeems or dissolves the poverty of the appearance and replaces it with the enrichment of the spiritual wholeness, which is fulfillment and the absence of poverty. Now, Jesus had reached the level when he could see this poverty of food for thousands, and within himself, like a computer, they're only poor in spirit, they're not meek under the spirit, but I will be meek under the spirit. I will mourn for the false self they present. I will crucify in my consciousness that false self that they present to me. I will be meek unto the Spirit. I will let the righteousness of Spirit exude its own perfection in all things. Spirit will be merciful to the hungry. Spirit will be the pure in heart of my being, which says evil, lack, limitation is impossible. And so in your pure at heart stage, which is a stage where you and I should be at this point. That's where we should be practicing our strength. To be looking out pure at heart, saying within ourselves, but if God is there, how can evil be there too? How can God and evil coexist in the same place? And if I accept the evil, I have denied the presence of God. If I accept any condition unlike God, I am denying the presence of God. And so in your pure at heart stage, you're saying, but that can't be. God is. You're living in the kingdom of is instead of the world of is not. Where is the difference? The difference is in your consciousness. All that is out there is the kingdom of is. But to that consciousness which has not attained the pure at heart stage, the world of is not is also out there. And usually very little of the kingdom at all. Now, if we're practicing the perfection of God as being omnipresent, we are resolutely facing all that denies that presence, but we, in our pure at heart consciousness, are saying, I don't care if there's 5,000. God being present, fulfillment is present. Whatever is necessary for that hunger is present here and now. I can't do it, but the Spirit, which is my true name, it doeth the works. I cannot limit the Spirit to my mentality. And then you're inviting the world to throw its burdens upon you. Why? Because you're ready to let the Spirit show itself wherever the burdens appear. There are no burdens for Spirit. And so we are dying to death to be born of life. Dying to the negatives. And not just changing the negatives to positives. That isn't enough. The world is very satisfied to do that and makes a mistake in doing so. Because the moment you're changing negatives to positives and satisfied that that is as far as you want to go, you have become stagnant to the flowing Spirit. Let's go a few steps that are not in this chapter, and let's see that where we're looking today, everywhere, we're not really looking at persons, we only think we are. What you're looking at is a state of consciousness. Now we're going to get somewhat mystical here, so let's go into it not with the sharp-pronged mind, but with a consciousness of the presence of Spirit. Here stands a consciousness, and it is outpicturing its concept of God. And that concept of that consciousness which comes out is a fraction. God is all and God is whole. And God is infinite. And this consciousness before me outpictures a fraction, and it is called a human being. And so with myself, to the degree that my consciousness can receive God, it then outpictures its concept, and it is called a human being. Now we have all that is present is God, the perfect Spirit itself. We have a consciousness about that Spirit, and we have its pictured visible concept called form. Now when you function on the level of the form, you are a concept, and you are going to function with other concepts called forms, and there will be no God government. But if one of the two forms, yourself, recognizing that the form you see before you is but a level, a projection of that consciousness, and that you, visibly, physically, are a projection of your consciousness, you will step out of the belief in the forms back into the consciousness and recognize that your limited invisible consciousness, which outpictured this limited visible form, is not your real consciousness at all. Divine consciousness, God, is all there is. And that is where you drop all of the concepts of that limited consciousness concerning this form. Your limited human consciousness is that which you mourn for. That is what you die to. And as you do that, you are becoming a witness for the divine consciousness. You you are losing the enslavement to the karmic law which governs all human consciousness. You are dying to unreality. You are coming out of the law. You are yielding to the divine. And this human mind is being released from both its burden, its concept, its conditioning, and its believed responsibilities. It is to become a witness for the Most High. Now, there are many types of consciousness. We have thought there was just the human consciousness or the divine. But between the human and the divine is the cosmic consciousness, which is really the cosmic imitation of the divine. And in this cosmic imitation, there are many, many, many kinds of consciousness. As a matter of fact, there's nothing on this earth that could appear without it being in that cosmic consciousness first. There couldn't be a bird unless there was a bird consciousness. It couldn't rain unless there were rain consciousness. The sun couldn't shine unless there was sun consciousness. An insect couldn't appear without insect consciousness. Nothing visible is what is there at all. All that is there is the consciousness that produced that visible. And now we're going backstage. We're going behind the visible forms to the consciousness that brings them out. Is there an epidemic? Then there is a consciousness that produces the epidemic. And it is not a one-person consciousness. It is a group consciousness. Is there hate in the world? Then there is a hate consciousness. Do you see that behind every idea that appears in this world as a thing, person, place, or condition, there is an individual or a group consciousness producing it. And these interwoven consciousnesses within the cosmic are the father of this world. When you go out to defend against the people, or to influence the people, or to in some way get something from the people, you're dealing with forms that are nothing but objectified consciousness. When you meet the consciousness at its own level, inside, and recognize it for what it is, an imitation, you can then move past your own limited imitation consciousness, not wasting your time with the forms, not seeking the client, not seeking the profit, not seeking the help, not seeking the abundance, because these could only be the appearance from consciousness. And so you get behind to the false consciousness, which is producing bad health. The false consciousness which is producing bad economy. The false group consciousness which produces inflation and deflation. You find that behind the visible defects of the world are the fractional consciousnesses causing them. And when you can see through these fractional consciousnesses, you can watch inflation and deflation and know it has no power over the divine consciousness that is. We are unmasking the forms. We are going backstage to the actors who are sending out these false forms. And then we are seeing the unreality of all that is not divine consciousness, and that is our ultimate freedom. As you stand in your divine consciousness, the false fractional consciousnesses of the world, whether they're sending up deluges or fires or floods or inflation or deflation, they must be subservient to the divine consciousness of your being, They cannot enter your divine consciousness to defile it. And then through the law of externalization, your divine consciousness becomes the law of the outer in the midst of inflation and deflation. Your divine consciousness becomes the law of the outer in the midst of the bomb and the bullet. Because all there is there is a fractional consciousness making a bomb and a bullet appear. A fractional consciousness making a lack and a limitation appear. The appearances are the images formed outwardly by the inner consciousness. You don't have to overcome the images. You have to overcome the acceptance of the images, knowing that they are both only the visible expression of an invisible false consciousness. The only consciousness that is present on the entire earth, which is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, is the consciousness that Jesus recognized. My Father's consciousness is here, and therefore they will be fed now. My Father's consciousness is here, and it cannot make anything less than a whole self. So this man is not insane. This one is not hungry. This one is not dead. But it is the acceptance of the whole invisible consciousness of the Father, where the invisible false consciousness of the world in its many aspects is holding sway over the ignorant false consciousness of the observer. Now, if we have gone behind the visible scene and even uncovered to some degree today the false consciousness of mortal mind, we are getting away from this hard and fast, rigid, physical world which has monopolized mankind since the very beginning. We are seeing the powers that are causing the visible powers. And as we understand these invisible powers, we learn that they're not even there. That's where the hypnosis begins, in the cosmic consciousness. And then it translates outwardly into the invisible individual consciousness, and then finally into the visible world as the things that we have given power. From this, you develop your own awareness that the power is not in these things or in the invisible consciousness that produced them. The power is in your being. You are self-sufficient in Christ. Lack dissolves in this knowledge. Limitation dissolves in this knowledge. The will enforces itself through your consciousness that only the consciousness of God is present there and here. Now, as we firm that up, we prove it. And then no longer can the world say that the word of Christ is only in a book. The word of Christ, no longer received in your mind, but in your heart, becomes a living word. And you are the livingness of it. Every healing that will ever take place spiritually will be a composite of the eight Beatitudes, and the necessity to heal is the persecution that faces you. You face it rejoicing that only Christ, only God, only the Father and the Son, one, are present. There is no other. And God is revealed. Five minutes, 10 minutes, or 5 years, or 10 years, depending on the degree to which you have accepted divine principle and rejected the suppositional opposite called the human mind. You can't fool anybody. You can't fool yourself. Because deep down within, while your mouth is saying, I accept, if there is still something inside that says, I'm not quite sure, it will show up. The pure at heart have passed the point of a divided consciousness. Someone said to me, at my age, can I attain this? If someone had said to me 6 or 7 years ago that 6 or 7 years from now you'd feel you've come close to it, I'd have said, what are you talking about? The message of the Christ isn't something you attain. That's part of the delusion. You do not attain it. It is already yours. Now, it has been yours from the beginning, before the foundations of the world. What we have neglected to be aware of is that we do not attain it. We accept that we have it. We peel away those artichoke and onion skins that tell us we do not have it, and there it is, waiting. I've been here all this time, and you have been seeking me where? Out there, going around the world looking for a holy grail that you possess in your very being. You do not attain Christ, you are. And how quickly this is realized is perhaps voiced best in one of those Beatitudes. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The measure of your desire for the truth determines how quickly, at least it's one of the great determining factors, how quickly you will come into the realization that I am He. And then you will see that the Father would never give us this glorious teaching without the knowledge that we will all bend to it, accept it, and finally live it. But if we were not to attain it, if 10 years or 20 from now we still had not attained it, there is still an important truth to know. That the measure of your spiritual consciousness is all that you take with you when all of your earthly possessions are checked at the probate court. And I have one student who said the most beautiful thing I heard in a long, long time. Just recently, an author came to town, this fellow Starkey. And when we had lunch, I decided to tell him about it. He felt that he was going to teach. He was veering more and more to teaching the young. So I had to tell him this because it helped me. One day I was saying to my student, lately, most of the women coming to me are in their 75s and their 80s, and I'm quite surprised. And she looked at me, and with a smile on her face, she said, it's wonderful to have those prenatal cases. I told this to Starkey. He incidentally had run the Infinite Way in New York up to about 1960. And was a close friend of Joel's, obviously. And his face lit up like a moon. He just reached for a paper. He reached for a pen. He just couldn't get it quick enough. And then he wrote down big words, prenatal. I'm sure he'll never have an old patient again. There aren't any such things. We're either being prepared for the next incarnation or for the transition. Unfortunately, that's not just a pretty word, it's the truth. And so let's see that the journey is not just one lifetime. Let's not sandwich God into this little span between the cradle and the grave. We are that spirit. We are continuous, uninterrupted life. Humanly, we'd like to have it this minute. Perhaps we cannot. Perhaps we can. But the next 500 years won't make any difference. When that moment comes, that then becomes the same as the now that is here at this moment. And at that moment, you'll have what you want. You might be one of those who has been prepared like an iceberg, so that all that now is needed is the salad dressing on the top. In your heart, you can tell. If you feel that tremendous power, which is saying, I am now, I am come, open the consciousness and let me in. Be sure where the Christ is. All time is vanished. There is no passing time in Christ. The moment that Christ enters your consciousness, you're in the eternal and now. And you can never be budged out of it. So we have our Beatitudes. They prepare us for what follows after ye have heard it said of old. And what follows is, Moses taught you this way. The Old Testament taught you this way. But I, the Spirit of God in the midst of you, I say unto you, not that way, not an eye for an eye, not a tooth for a tooth. I say unto you, you are the power. There is only one power on the earth, and it is the spirit of your being. I say unto you that the only real Christianity is one power. There is no Christianity in two powers. There is no two-ness anywhere. There is only I in the midst of you. And whatever they have told you of old is no more. For I say unto you, now are we the sons of God. And as this I continues to tell us the difference between the old way, the Old Testament, and the New Testament of I, the Spirit of God within you, we are learning real Christianity from the source, from the Christ within. That's the only Christianity there is. And it speaks with authority. And so they said of Jesus, he speaks as one with authority. And the reason they said it is because the Christ had spoken, not a man. And when Christ speaks in you, you have the only authority there is on this entire earth. And that authority you can depend on. It says, I am the way. And that means you can depend right now that it is the way. And it will continue to be the way. Until all that is unlike itself is eliminated from your life. For its way is the way of perfection. Without opposite. And the greatest knowledge you can have about that is to know that is not tomorrow, that is the reality now. This is where we should dwell a moment. The perfection of my being is now. And through the Christ message, I am alerted to the subtle, deceiving of the cosmic mind which paints before me the imperfections that have no substance within them, no power to fulfill themselves, except from the belief that we mistakenly have given them. Remove that belief, and you will find those powers are non-power. Those appearances are non-appearance. For all that is here now is I, the infinite invisible Spirit of God, the One. And beside me there is no other. Joel is going to take us further next week. But there is a very clear impression that through this series now, we are going to crucify that which is unlike God. We are moving through the resurrection as an experience instead of a word in a book. Let's all hold tight to one another in the realization that we are unseparated. Now, if you want some homework, you don't have to wait for anyone to come to you and say, help me. There is a consciousness of disease in this world. Take it. Face it. Unmask it. Lift yourself above it. And that's your homework. There is a consciousness of hate in this world. Dwell with that a moment until you overcome that consciousness. Take the consciousness of everything in this world that you think is wrong, imperfect, lying, and recognize the consciousness behind it. Unmask it with the truth in your own being. And that's your homework. You can never say, I lack for things to do. The false consciousness of the world surrounds us, and your awareness of it is the unmasking of it and the nullifying of it. This is the kind of world work we can all be doing. Not only is it helpful, but it is self-liberating. It builds that halo, that immunity around your being just by the knowledge that all the hate in the world has no power in the divine consciousness. And then relax. All of the lack in the world has no power in divine consciousness. Accept the challenge of the newspapers. Not with resistance, with wisdom, with silence, with truth in consciousness. And rest in the Word. And you'll find the Beatitudes are forming themselves in the very midst of your being. You're behind the visible world. And you're able to look at the false consciousness of the visible world in its multitudinous forms and see it as the nothingness that it is. You remember that phrase we worked with a while back? There is no place where God is not. There is no place where God consciousness is not. No place where the activity of God is not. No matter what we see. That is what I, in the midst of you, has ever been saying to you. We might even get to Easter before Easter gets here. Thanks very much.